Farther Away by Jonathan Franzen. Read by Jonathan Franzen and Scott Shepherd.
Pain Won't Kill You. Commencement Address, Kenyon College, May 2011. Good morning, class of 2011. Good morning, relatives and faculty. It's a great honor and pleasure to be here today. I'm going to go ahead and assume that you all knew what you were getting into when you chose a literary writer to deliver this address. I'm going to do what literary writers do, which is to talk about themselves, in the hope that my experience has some resonance with your own. I'd like to work my way around to the subject of love and its relation to my life and to the strange techno-capitalist world that you guys are inheriting. A couple of weeks ago, I replaced my 3-year-old BlackBerry Pearl with a much more powerful BlackBerry Bold with a 5-megapixel camera and 3G capability. Needless to say, I was impressed with how far the technology had advanced in 3 years. Even when I didn't have anybody to call or text or email, I wanted to keep fondling my new Bold and experiencing the marvelous clarity of its screen, the silky action of its tiny trackpad, the shocking speed of its responses, the beguiling elegance of its graphics. I was, in short, infatuated with my new device. I'd been similarly infatuated with my old device, of course, but over the years, the bloom had faded from our relationship. I'd developed trust issues with my Pearl, accountability issues, compatibility issues, and even toward the end, some doubts about my Pearl's very sanity, until I'd finally had to admit to myself that I'd outgrown the relationship. Do I need to point out that, absent some wild anthropomorphizing projection in which my old BlackBerry felt sad about the waning of my love for it, our relationship was entirely one-sided? Let me point it out anyway. Let me further point out how ubiquitously the word sexy is used to describe late-model gadgets, and how the extremely cool things that we can do now with these gadgets, like impelling them to action by speaking incantations, or doing that spreading the fingers iPhone thing that makes images get bigger, would have looked to people 100 years ago like a magician's incantations, a magician's hand gestures. And how, when you want to describe an erotic relationship that's working perfectly, we speak, indeed, of magic. Let me toss out the idea that according to the logic of techno-consumerism, in which markets discover and respond to what consumers most want, our technology has become extremely adept at creating products that correspond to our fantasy ideal of an erotic relationship, in which the beloved object asks for nothing and gives everything instantly and makes us feel all-powerful, and doesn't throw terrible scenes when it's replaced by an even sexier object and is consigned to a drawer. That, to speak more generally, the ultimate goal of technology, the telos of techne, is to replace a natural world that's indifferent to our wishes, a world of hurricanes and hardships and breakable hearts, a world of resistance, with a world so responsive to our wishes as to be, effectively, a mere extension of the self. Let me suggest, finally, that the world of techno-consumerism is therefore troubled by real love, and that it has no choice but to trouble love in turn. Its first line of defense is to commodify its enemy. You can all supply your own favorite, most nauseating examples of the commodification of love. Mine include the wedding industry, TV ads that feature cute young children, or the giving of automobiles as Christmas presents, and the particularly grotesque equation of diamond jewelry with everlasting devotion. The message, in each case, is that if you love somebody, you should buy stuff. A related phenomenon is the ongoing transformation, courtesy of Facebook, of the verb to like, from a state of mind to an action that you perform with your computer mouse, from a feeling to an assertion of consumer choice. And liking, in general, is commercial culture's substitute for loving. The striking thing about all consumer products, and none more so than electronic devices and applications, is that they're designed to be immensely likable. This is, in fact, the definition of a consumer product, in contrast to the product that is simply itself and whose makers aren't fixated on your liking it. I'm thinking here of jet engines, laboratory equipment, serious art and literature. But if you consider this in human terms, and you imagine a person defined by a desperation to be liked, what do you see? You see a person without integrity, without a center. In more pathological cases, you see a narcissist, a person who can't tolerate the tarnishing of his or her self-image that not being liked represents, and who therefore either withdraws from human contact or goes to extreme integrity sacrifice.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?